Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capitalism, A Global History by Sven Beckert. Presents capitalism not as a uniquely Western invention or a simple story of markets and innovation, but as a system built through worldwide connections, power, and conflict. Drawing on Beckert's well-known approach to global economic history, the book follows how trade routes, empires, finance, labor regimes, and state policies intertwined to create modern capitalist economies. Instead of treating capitalism as a smooth rise of free exchange, it emphasizes uneven development. Some regions accumulated capital and political influence, while others were reorganized to supply commodities, labor, and land. The narrative highlights how plantations, industrialization, migration, corporate structures, and international institutions shaped everyday life and global inequality. Readers can expect a clear, big-picture account that links local changes to global transformations, showing how capitalism evolved over time and why it looks different across regions. The result is a framework for understanding current debates about globalization, crisis, and reform in historical perspective. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a global system, not a national story. A central theme is that capitalism developed through cross-border networks rather than within isolated nations. The book frames capitalism as a moving, adaptive system that linked distant regions through commerce, credit, shipping, and information flows. This perspective shifts attention from a single origin point to the circulation of commodities and capital across oceans and continents. It also shows how states and empires helped create the conditions for markets, from securing trade routes to enforcing property claims and contract rules. By foregrounding connections, the narrative helps explain why the prosperity of some places has often depended on the extraction of labor, land, and resources elsewhere. The global lens also clarifies how shocks travel, a slump in demand, a war, or a financial panic can ripple through supply chains and credit systems, reshaping livelihoods far away. Understanding capitalism this way challenges the idea that it is merely the outcome of human tendency to trade. Instead, it appears as a historically specific arrangement made and remade through political choices, coercion, and institution building. The topic prepares readers to see present-day globalization as part of a longer history of integration and inequality rather than a purely modern phenomenon. Secondly, empire, coercion, and the making of capitalist labor. The book emphasizes that capitalist expansion has frequently relied on coercive labor systems alongside wage work. Rather than presenting freedom of contract as the defining feature, it highlights how conquest, slavery, forced labor, and other constraints were entangled with markets and profit-seeking. Empires reorganized territories to serve distant demand, redirecting land use, reshaping local governance, and controlling mobility. This helps explain how large-scale commodity production could grow rapidly even when labor rights were limited or absent. The narrative also connects these labor regimes to broader institutions, legal codes that defined property, policing that enforced work discipline, and financial mechanisms that funded expansion. Importantly, coercion is not treated as a primitive prelude that disappears with modernization. Instead, the book suggests it has been recurrent, changing form as capitalism moved into new regions and industries. This topic also clarifies the moral and political stakes of capitalism as a lived experience. It encourages readers to evaluate economic growth alongside questions of power, race, and citizenship, and to recognize that labor arrangements are not natural outcomes of markets. They are shaped by conflict, collective action, and the capacity of states to regulate or repress. Thirdly, commodities, supply chains, and the hidden architecture of profit, a global history of capitalism becomes tangible when traced through commodities and the supply chains that move them. The book highlights how everyday goods connect distant producers and consumers through layers of merchants, financiers, insurers, shippers, and regulators. Following commodities illuminates how value is created and captured, who bears the risks of crop failure or price swings, who controls transport and credit, and who sets standards that determine access to markets. It also reveals how industrialization depended on reliable flows of raw materials and how disruptions, whether wars, embargoes, or labor uprisings, could transform business strategies and state policy. By focusing on commodity frontiers, the narrative explains why capitalism repeatedly seeks new regions to secure land, labor, and resources, often leading to environmental change and social dislocation. This approach also clarifies the role of information, technology, and management in coordinating production across distance. The architecture of profit is not only factories and entrepreneurs, it includes contracts, accounting, logistics, and legal enforcement. For modern readers, this topic provides tools to interpret contemporary debates about ethical sourcing, corporate responsibility, and the vulnerability of global supply networks to shocks. Fourthly, finance, corporations, and the power of institutions. Another major topic is the institutional machinery that makes capitalism scalable. The book highlights how finance, from credit instruments to banking networks and later capital markets, expanded the capacity to invest, speculate, and absorb risk. Financial systems did not simply arise from private initiative, they were enabled by political decisions about currency, regulation, debt, and the enforcement of claims. Alongside finance, corporate forms and managerial practices helped coordinate large enterprises across space and time, separating ownership from daily control and allowing firms to outlast individual founders. This institutional focus helps readers see that capitalism is not only about competition, but also about organization and governance. It also explains why crises recur, leverage, bubbles, and sudden shifts in confidence are embedded possibilities in credit-based growth. The topic connects to the emergence of powerful actors that can influence states, shape labor markets, and set the terms of trade. At the same time, it shows how states rely on capitalist growth for revenue and legitimacy, creating a relationship of mutual dependence and tension. Readers gain a clearer sense of why reforms often focus on rules for finance and corporate behavior, and why those reforms are contested by groups with different interests. Lastly, inequality, resistance, and the contested future of capitalism, a global history inevitably confronts the uneven outcomes of capitalist development. The book frames inequality as a structural feature produced by patterns of ownership, bargaining power, and geopolitical advantage rather than as an accidental byproduct. As regions were incorporated into global markets, some gained industrial capacity and political leverage, while others were locked into roles as commodity suppliers or sites of cheap labor. Yet the narrative also gives space to resistance and reform. Workers, enslaved people, peasants, and anti-colonial movements challenged exploitation, and social movements pushed states to regulate labor, provide welfare, and restrain corporate power. This makes capitalism appear as a field of conflict, where outcomes depend on collective action and institutional choices. The topic also links past struggles to present debates about globalization, deindustrialization, migration, climate stress, and the legitimacy of economic inequality. By showing that capitalism has taken multiple forms across time and place, the book suggests that its future is not predetermined. Readers are encouraged to think in terms of alternatives within capitalism, such as stronger labor rights or public regulation, as well as possibilities beyond it. The result is a historically grounded way to assess policy proposals and social movements without treating the current model as inevitable. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a big-picture understanding of capitalism beyond simple tales of entrepreneurs, markets, and technological progress. Students of history, economics, politics, and international relations will benefit, as will general readers trying to make sense of globalization, inequality, and recurring financial turmoil. The main life benefit is conceptual clarity, by tracing how states, empires, labor systems, and supply chains shaped capitalism. The reader gains a framework for interpreting news about trade conflicts, corporate power, labor precarity, and price shocks with less confusion and more historical perspective. The book is also useful for ethical reflection, because it connects prosperity and consumption to the institutions and labor arrangements that made them possible. Compared with many capitalism overviews that focus narrowly on Western industrialization or abstract economic theory, Beckert's global and institutional approach helps explain why capitalism looks different across regions and why coercion and conflict have often accompanied growth. That breadth makes it worth buying. It equips the reader with a map of how the modern world economy was built and why reform debates are so contentious today. If you would like to support Sven Beckert, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.